Welcome to Trail Tales ARP,
a running podcast for every type of runner.
With Sean Sauvin and Russell the Runner.
Run wild.
I love the chase and the hunt, and I set the pace when I'm running. I always take what I want, and I always give it 100. Don't need a bank, no, I'm funded. Play the game like it's nothing. I'm always thankful for something. Don't take for granted, stay humble. Now wake up! It's time to look at the enemy. Look in the mirror if he is no friend to me. It's not working out, maybe it's the chemistry. It's time to break up so I can make a better me. Better believe in your mind, cause it's everything. You can hold shape, find almost anything. All it takes is some time and some clarity to find your identity is mine over everything.
Hello everybody, welcome back to Trail Tales ARP, a running podcast. Sean Sauvin and Russell the Runner with you here for the first episode of season 9. We are into spring, we're well into spring. We didn't put any episodes out in April because it was just so very busy for the both of us, but here we are, and we've got a returning guest on the show. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you would remember this name, David Kempston. He's a longtime runner, 40 plus years, and he's the author of Lessons Learned on the Run, available on Amazon. Check the show notes for that. First off, Russell, it's great to see you again, my friend. Tell us a little bit about how your April went real quick.
Thank you, Sean. April went well. I did a couple of training ultras for my 100-mile journey next month. And yeah, life's been busy, and it's been going well. And it's nice that we're finally back here doing another podcast to start off May with amazing David Kempston.
That's great. And David, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you live. I know we've been kind of, you know, keeping tabs or keeping in touch with each other through social media, and I've enjoyed watching you as you catch monster fish out of your lake and your family growing. But it's great to have you back. How are you?
Good to be here. Thank you. I appreciate the invitation. I got a little nervous. I ran 10 this morning, and I thought, boy, if I went out too fast and I die somewhere out here on the road, there's going to be a vacant chair there on the podcast. So I need my middle-aged frame was able to turn around and get back here in time.
Well, glad you made it back, because I don't know what we would have done with that vacancy there. And I guess second, I'm going to ask, because you're in Minnesota, did you run 10K or 10 miles?
No, I ran 10 miles.
10 miles. That's great.
Yeah. I went out, and you know, once in a blue moon, the stars aligned for me, and I went out and the wind was in my face. And then on the way back, I felt like I had an extra gear, which at 55, if you can find an extra gear, you steal it and run it as long as it will let you. And then you give it back to whoever you stole it from. So.
Yeah. And then you pay the piper later, I guess. Eh?
Yes. My wife will be angry with me at about 2 p.m. She's like, why did you run so fast? You wrecked the rest of the day.
Now, let me ask you, Dave, I'm historically a napper. Do you nap at all? Do you think you'll be having a nap later on today?
I do. I take about a 30-minute nap when I can. They tease me at work because I'll shut my door, put a little sign that says do not disturb. And I tend to be readily accessible, except for give me my 20, 30-minute nap, and I do much better. So if you split the day into two parts, it's easier.
Yeah. I guess after running 16 miles this morning too, it might be calling you.
Oh, I only ran 10. I only ran 10.
Oh, sorry, 16 kilometers. That's right. I got that.
16.1.
16.1. There's Russell, our resident mathematician here.
Wow. Gee whiz. That was an English major. I got to, you know, I cut the board three times. It was still too short. I can't do that.
Oh, that's awesome. So, Dave, since it's been a while, I want to ask, obviously, we know about your most recent run. That was this morning. What was your most recent race? Have you done any races lately?
You know, I do a 5K. We have a lake place where I catch those fish that you alluded to earlier. It's in Richmond, Minnesota, a sprawling metropolis of about 1,400 people. It's on the Sauk River, where the Sauk River backs up and makes this chain of lakes. And so they have the Richmond River Days every summer. And so I've run the 5K the last bunch of summers, and I enjoy that immensely. And that's enough for me. You know, it gives me a good indicator of my fitness, and I have a lot of fun, and the kids come out and cheer for me, and my grandkids will come cheer for me. And so I enjoy that immensely. But my friends were like, why don't you run more races? And it's like, yeah, you know, if with a watch on, you know, the dreaded Apple Watch, I can always go get my metrics and have a decent idea of where I'm at. But that's it. I typically just run one 5K a year.
There you go. That's, you know what? That's actually more races than I usually enter in a year myself. I get out there for the fitness and the love of running. And, you know, if a race happens to, you know, line up with my schedule and it looks interesting, then I'll go out for that. But yeah, kind of the same thing. But, you know, you've been running for over 40 years now. That's a long running career. And I'm not trying to age you. I'm sixth grandchild on the way soon. Congratulations. But would you say that your running has changed from what it was 40 years ago in terms of maybe your goals, your training, or your reason why?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but for me, I have some strange attraction to running. I just do. And it centers me. It allows me to think. So in terms of goals, you know, motion is lotion, and my goal is to stay in motion. And I teasingly say, you know, before the era of stretchy pants, you know, suits that didn't stretch, because I'm a lawyer and I got to wear a suit pretty regularly, even though COVID messed that up a bit. But and then they came along with the stretchy wool fabric. So, you know, it's not my standard byline from yesteryear was I want to be able to wear my wool pants, you know, eat and wear my, and not have to get my pants let out all the time. So goal is to be active, to be fit. I have a buddy that I've run with for about 20 years. He remained anonymous in my running book. I just called him my running buddy. And someone said, is this person real? I'm like, oh yeah, he's real. I just didn't want to give him a name. And he and I run together, and there's a lot of joy in that. I mean, there's a relationship that goes so far back. He and I have run through so many different aspects of life and weather and seasons and joy and sorrow and injuries. And so for me, just being out there is, I enjoy that so much. Just being able to run. It seems like with each passing year, there are less and less of my friends that do run. You know, it's either hips or knees or something, or, you know, health. If you hear a strange sound in the back, it's my 9-month-old golden retriever who is letting the world know that she might rather do something else than sit at my feet. But so those are my goals, is to keep moving. I have this 9-month-old puppy. You're not supposed to run puppies till their growth plates are good and so are solidified. So what I do is I call them dog jogs. I'll go for a run. And then I'll come back and I'll get her and we'll go for a 1-mile dog jog, which is more of a, if you look up the words cavort or caper in the dictionary, you'll see my red golden retriever just bouncing about. That's the dog jog. So I'm just grateful to still be moving. I really am. You know, and once in a while I go and I try to blow the carbon out of the pipes like this morning and just see what the old frame can still do. But you know, you do slow down over time. It doesn't matter who you are, what your nutrition is, how much you sleep. And everybody ages at a different rate. That's the interesting thing, is that it's not, for me, I haven't noticed that it's this gradual process. It seems to me that every 5 years, all of a sudden, boom, I'm 5 years older and everything is slower. And then it stays that way for 5 years. And then, boom, I'm 5 years older and everything is slower.
It's like a staircase kind of stepwise fashion for sure. You know, I got to thank you for that phrase, motion is lotion, because I probably use that, I don't know, several times in a week when I'm talking to people. And I always reference you on that. It's such a great saying and there's a lot of truth behind it. And I'm excited to hear that you got a little puppy that you're kind of introducing into running and stuff. And, you know, maybe last year sometime, I had a vet come on. She's a critical care vet, but also a runner with a running background. And I did a little bit of research because, you know, I had people asking me about, you know, when can I start running with my dog and stuff? And you had mentioned the growth plates and everything. I think that's kind of like a common common knowledge out there where, you know, you want to be careful, because the danger with that is if you end up with a long bone fracture where your growth plates are, and the fracture occurs over the growth plate, you can end up with, you know, a deformed leg or a shortened leg where the fracture is, depending on those things. Anyways, in speaking with a vet and just kind of doing research, there were some studies done where they ran dogs, and puppies prior to having their growth plates or epiphyseal plates closed. And what they found was that there are actually some very positive benefits with running these dogs. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go run, you know, 5 or 10K with a puppy, but like you said, you're kind of introducing these little dog jogs out there and getting them interested into it. And what they found was they had increased bone strength and density, stronger tendons and joints and things like that. So there's a lot of benefits to it out there, as long as you're careful. And if you think about it, if you're out there tossing a ball in a yard, and you compare that with going for, you know, an easy jog with a dog, when you're throwing those balls around the dog, there's a lot of abrupt stopping and starting, turning around and angles. You probably have a higher risk of getting an injury during that type of play, as opposed to going for, you know, a relatively reasonable length of a run or a jog, right? So it's pretty interesting though, and there's a lot of benefits to running the dog. So I hope that as your puppy grows into adulthood, that you start running and maybe try a canicross run.
You inspire me. I love seeing what you put up on Instagram. My entire family gets so tired, whether it's my parents or my children, getting pictures of me and the dog. They're like, okay, you get it. You love your dog. We understand. Now, can you send us a picture, something else, or better yet, don't send us a picture at all.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. The races that I had, I actually had this last race. We had a participant drive all the way up from Georgia, and we had one come from New York State as well, which was really great. And there's a Minnesota connection to my race, because that's where I ordered my race bibs from. They came from the state of Minnesota.
So. I guess they're right. Minnesota.
Minnesota. That's right.
And that was 61 bibs. John had 61 participants.
At that the is New York awesome. Race event.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, including the virtual runners out there. We had a few virtuals from Michigan. I had the farthest one in Canada was out in Alberta. Wow. Which is, I don't know, that's a long ways away too from Ontario. Canada is just so vast. So, but yeah, we've got another event coming up in the fall, and you know, maybe one day, Dave, we'll get you on the virtual roster and you can go run. And what's your puppy's name?
Her name is Coda.
Coda. Great name.
K-O-T-A. Coda.
Coda. I love it. Love it. Yeah. So maybe we'll see you on the virtual roster one day.
I would like that.
That would be really cool. So, you know, I guess, you know, your running over the years is kind of like you had noticed things kind of slow down a little bit, but you kind of try to push it every once in a while, which is great. And I kind of noticed that myself too. I mean, I'll be 42 actually on the 10th. So in a few days. And, you know, I noticed when I hit 37 myself, the body started screaming at me a little bit more often than it used to and things like that. But the way you described it as a bit of a delay, and then you kind of, you know, have that step down again. I think I can relate to that. I think right now I'm in that sweet spot where things are kind of holding steady. So I'm doing all right. But
enjoy it, because you will get slower.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where the goals kind of change too, right? Where you have to realize that, you know, we all have our own different limitations and capacities, right? And I think, you know, being you know, in the new role, relatively new role of being a race director, I had a lot of participants asking, well, what's going to, you know, who's the fastest time? What are the, you know, podium finishers going to look like? I'm worried about finishing dead last. And, you know, my advice to them is, you know, don't worry about anybody else. Right. Just focus on what you can do, you know, your upper limit, and just try to push yourself and try to just cancel out all that other noise, because, you know, our goals or our abilities are going to change as we age, right? Russell's in the prime of his life, late 20s, running 100 miles and doing 10Ks in times I could only dream of. But you know what I mean? Those things are eventually going to change too, right? So,
you know, it makes me think, yeah, John Rockefeller had that world famous line, you know, he's speaking about money. How much is enough? You know, his famous response was just a little more. The runner corollary is, I could have gone faster. You know, I could have gone faster. I could have gone farther. And, you know, it's the classic glass half empty approach to life. And, you know, sure, perhaps you could have gone faster, but maybe not. But is that in the bigger picture, is that the measure? And the answer is no, it's not. Sean, you said, you know, you tell the participants, don't compare yourself to others. You know, we tell our children, comparison kills. It's a joy sapper. And running, I mean, we've all suffered when we run. And I'm sure Russell has probably suffered more than we have because he runs farther than we do. But there's both joy and suffering in running. And I've said this before, you know, running is a microcosm for the macrocosm of life. I mean, it's a great metaphor for life. But there is tremendous joy in running. And that's why I think I keep coming back to it, because it's a joy giver. You know, there are so many things in life that sap your joy, whether it's relationships or health or finances, or sometimes it's a job. And some of those joy sappers are unavoidable, but seeking out healthy joy givers, you know, this gives me joy. This gives me, you know, I enjoy this. So a healthy enjoyment of a good activity is wonderful. You know, I don't mean to overuse the W word, but it is. And so instead of thinking, well, golly, you know, I can only run this fast or only ran that far, or look at this person and how much faster they are. There's always going to be somebody faster than you unless you're the world record holder. All right. One of those in each event. So take a deep breath, be grateful for what you do have, and put it to use. So that's my thought. As I get older, my perspective, and this isn't just true in running, as I've gotten older, I realize that contentment and gratitude are twin pillars, and you need to cultivate them. Some people are naturally content and naturally grateful, but others, like Dave Kempston, are not. And we have to work on that and realize this is a good thing, and I'm fortunate that I can do this, and that I can share this time with these other people, or that I can be out here, you know, putting my body, and Russell running an ultra, putting your body out there and straining it and stressing it and being able to accomplish that and feeling good about it, but keeping it in perspective that, you know, there's going to come a time when all of us can't run anymore. You know, we don't know when that time will be, but at some point our running careers will end. So, as my dad used to say, smoke them if you got them. You know, I mean, enjoy it. Enjoy the season.
Absolutely. That's extremely well said. And I find we're all on our own respective journeys with our own respective shadows. And that's what makes what you just said, David, so powerful. Because based on that, you can't compare your own journey and your own shadow to anyone else. It's unique and only applicable to you. And it couldn't be more important to be grateful. There are many people out there who do not have the ability to run. And at times I think about that, and that helps me to remind myself that I'm grateful to be able to run and to move my body.
Yeah, awesome. Well said, Russell. Good observation too. And, you know, I can really tell that as well. Sometimes you're out there and you're running and you think, okay, sometimes when you hit that, you know, the runner's high, you think this is fantastic. And then maybe that thought comes through your mind, well, there are people out there that can't experience this, right? And it allows you to kind of really have that gratitude, Dave, that you were talking about, and think like, this is great. And, you know, having the realization that one day I won't be able to do this anymore. So just kind of be in that moment and enjoy it and take the joy from it. And, you know, if we could bottle up that thought process or those feelings and sell it to people, we'd be billionaires, because that is kind of like the secret to life, I think, is to be able to enjoy the moment you're in, whether, you know, whether it's a stressful moment or it's an easy moment or whatever it is. I mean, this is our one go around the earth, right? Like, this is it. So we have to experience everything we can, I think, while we're here. And, the good, the bad, the ugly. And, you know, when things are going really good, it's that much sweeter, I think.
Yeah. And it took me a long time to realize that. I, you know, people will ask, you know, Dave, how are things going? And I'll say, well, you know, I'm really fortunate. I feel like with each passing year, I'm learning how to enjoy life more, whether it's grandchildren or work. You know, there's a lot of toil in work, but there are also aspects of my job that I really enjoy. And, you know, for years it was, you know, I'm a litigator. That's what I'm in the courtroom all the time. And for years I just endured and just, you know, always looking at the, okay, we're almost done, you know, okay, okay. And after a while you realize, don't wish your life away. Don't. It's, time just goes faster and faster. And you really need to hunker down and be in the moment and enjoy it as best you can. And I'm not being Pollyannish about this. I mean, I'm not making light of suffering or difficult circumstances or loss or even death. That is a part of life, but to be where you are and to be able to enjoy it and to be grateful and to be content in that moment. And of course, to seek to, you know, to improve. I mean, even at 55 years of age, I still, you know, I don't run as many days a week as I used to because of injury. I try to listen to my body. But Thursday is still my perceived hard day. And I put in air quotes because, you know, hard and perceived, it's, you know, keeps changing. But, you know, that's the day I try to suffer a little bit. And those runs aren't fun. I don't enjoy them. I'm glad when they're over. But it's not the whole run that's terrible, but there can be some dark moments in them. So I'm not saying that you don't seek to improve. Of course you do. But again, I'm sounding like a broken record now. So I've been thankful that as I get older, I'm enjoying life more. And, you know, whether it's my children or grandkids. And I have so much fun. I'll drag a grandkid along in the Burley. What's funny is we still have the Burley we had when my children were little. So it's ancient, but it was well made. And as long as I keep some WD-40 on the wheels, it does well. But I'll push a grandchild on a run. You know, I'll take some stress off of one of my kids. If I take their kid for an hour, you just go push them somewhere for it. I can sing to the kid and have a great time running along. Multitasking, I guess.
Yeah, I certainly miss those days pushing my kids in the stroller. It was, I remember the last stroller run we had. It was a day, I think, Russell, that you had come to Island Lake in Orangeville, and I had my daughter in the stroller and was pushing her around, and there's somebody in there who was looking for one just like the one I had, and my daughter was like, you know, it was hard to get her in and out of it because she was growing. So I said, well, I'm looking to get rid of this one as hard as it is, because I had that stroller since my soon-to-be 10-year-old was like 6 months old. So it had been through two kids, and sold it there on the spot. And it was tough to let go. And my daughter still gripes about it. Why did you get rid of the stroller? Because she loved being pushed around and, you know, asking you to go faster and then sing a song at the same time. And you're just trying to stay alive, pushing up a hill. So I totally get it. Fun times, though.
I very much remember you pushing that stroller. You were incredibly strong.
It had good rolling resistance, that's all. And it was keeping me up. I was holding on to it. But you'd mentioned, Dave, too, you know, Thursday is kind of your hard run. So that kind of is a great segue into my next question. I wanted to know, do you have a preferred type of training or run that you do? Is it the long run? Is it like the tempo run? Do you do intervals or track work? What's kind of your go-to run that you kind of enjoy the most and benefits you the most?
Yeah, so on Thursdays, in the winter when the roads, I run outside all year round. I'm not much of a treadmill fella. And so Minnesota, similar to where you are in the winter, you don't try to run fast in the dark, in the snow, in the ice. If you do, you're a rockhead. Okay, I've you know, broken some things in the dark, running and falling. So I don't usually start doing. So what I might do during the winter is a fartlek, you know, where if I feel like I'm safe, if my feet are under me, okay, where I am. But once the weather gets decent, I'll start with dropping in, you know, maybe go out for a tempo, try to drop in a hard mile, and then I'll do a timed 5K. And then I'll start doing 1,000-meter repeats, In my neighborhood, I've got it. I measured out 1,000 meters. So I know where that is. And the neighbors think I'm just, you know, nuts. They're just like, what is wrong with this dude? He keeps running by my house, you know, panting like he's about to have a heart attack. And I will sneak on a track on my 55th birthday last September. I climbed over the fence. I was, I ran faster than I probably would have because I thought I was going to get arrested for trespassing on this high school track. But, I do love doing mile repeats on the track. There's a dirt track that I used to do that on. Once COVID hit, I quit going to the health club that I used to go to. And so there was a dirt track at a middle school that they didn't care if you ran on it. You know, all the nice high school tracks have fences around them down here, but I love running on a dirt track. I mean, it just takes me back to, middle school running on just, the old cinder track. And doing mile repeats. I love doing mile repeats. My children still tease me about that. They're like, Dad, something is so wrong with you that, you want to go do mile repeats. So those are if I'm going to do speed work, and I'm careful about it. I read an article, the fellow who set the world record for over 60 in the mile during COVID, he talked about rolling into everything, and that idea that you don't immediately boom go, you gently accelerate into it. And so at the end of workouts on Thursdays, even if I'm feeling lazy and I don't want to run hard, I call them flying 40s or fabulous 40s, where I've got a hill that I'll do accelerations up. And again, the neighbors will come out. I mean, it was so funny. There was a work truck last summer and I did 5 of them, and there was some fella and his work truck at the top of the hill about to do some utility work. The second time up, he's kind of looking out the window at me. The third time up, he rolls up, "Are you okay?" "Not really, but hey, thanks for asking."
Is he looking for the guy that's chasing you? Yeah. Who's chasing you? Why?
Like deja vu all over again.
I'm curious, what's the record for the mile for over 60?
He ran a 4:49.
Wow.
Yeah. It was prior to that. It was 4.
That's phenomenal.
It was
4:60.
Yeah. His name is Dan King, and he's a 61-year-old. I mean, I got this little article that he wrote. Yeah, he ran a 4:49.08 on August 29th at the South Carolina Track Fest in Columbia. So, yeah, that's
phenomenal. Staggering.
Wow. And yeah. That's Dan King, you said?
Dan King. Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to look him up. I'll put that in the show notes. I'm happy to run that time for a kilometer, let alone a mile. Oh my goodness. That's great.
I stumbled through a 5:55. I thought that was rather fitting for a dude
who sub six is amazing.
A 55-year-old guy ran a 5:55. And what was so funny is it felt like, when I would go sub 5, I mean, it felt the same. Your arms have tin, you've got the cement cans on them, the paint cans on them after, 1200 meters, and you're trying to keep your form. And I'm looking at my watch going, "That can't be right. It's got to be broken. I want my money back from Apple. This isn't fair."
Yeah. It's that perceived effort. I'm working way harder than...
And of course my family is all like, "Dad, it's your birthday. What on earth are you going and running a mile for on the track?"
Oh, I know. I hear you.
Just wanted to suffer a little, get the day started off just right.
Absolutely. It's the birthday milestone. We try to psych ourselves up to hit some sort of running milestone on that day. Or we always try to like sneak in a run somewhere, somehow. It's like we recently went down to Florida for a vacation. Okay, I'm going to get my run in, my runcation, get my run in on, so kind of do that. And we always kind of do these things. Russell, have you ever done something like that for your birthday? Try to do a special run or something?
My past birthday, which I was 2 weeks into moving here, I did a 50K ultra.
Ooh. Wow.
What are you going to do when you turn 50?
Yeah.
Good question. For this year, ideally my third 100 miler on the same day that I turned 3 decades.
That'll be pretty cool. And just remind us which one that is.
It's the Iron Horse Ultra.
Nice.
St. Paul, Alberta.
St. Paul, Alberta. Almost halfway to Ontario. Not really, but. Are you driving or flying?
I'll drive.
Yeah. Okay. It's not too bad. And when are you back into Ontario for the FAR?
I'll be arriving in Toronto on May 27th.
Wonderful. Well, we'll have to see if things can line up. Maybe we can meet up.
We should.
That would be great. Speaking of birthday runs, like I had mentioned earlier, I've got one coming up soon. It happens to be my 42nd. So we'll see if I get out there, run 42 kilometers for a marathon, 42.2, whatever it is. But that's the idea. Haven't been doing like any training to get to that distance, but I'll go out and suffer a little on my birthday.
I'm sure I speak on behalf of David and I. We believe in you, Sean. Yes.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm going to expect to hear good things May 10th.
Yeah.
My running buddy, his birthday is every April, and he just turned 59. But for years, I would dread the first run after his birthday because it was the, I got to prove I'm still in the game. And I mean, they were horrible runs. We'd go and we have this route we call Double Uncle because I had a terrible melt. I just blew up on the run one time and I was basically begging for mercy. Can we just ease up a little? No, no. I was like, well, how about if we both say uncle at the same time? He's like, no. So call it Double Uncle. All right. So we usually run Double Uncle and it would just be a death march. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like, can I just skip your birthday? Because I know we're going to go out and just die. It's going to be horrible. We're going to go out too fast, then we're going to blow up, and then we're going to suffer for 4 miles. What's funny is, you know, both of us have aged up. And so it used to be Minneapolis has done the city planners did a great job. So we have lakes there's three or four of them that have running trails around them that are really close to downtown. And so they're wonderful to run on and easy access. And they can be pretty crowded. You'll run into a lot of runners down there. Well, in the old days, we hardly ever got passed by anybody. If anybody ever passed us, you know, we'd go with them and stay with them and repass them. And now we're like, whatever. I mean, people go by and my buddy doesn't even bristle anymore. I mean, that's how old we got. People go by. It was funny though, because the last time we were down there about a month ago, someone goes by us and I felt them just bristle just a little bit. You know, and I'm like, yeah, we've accepted it. We can get past now and it's okay.
That's a big step to take because, you know, even if I'm running and suffering and, you know, nobody's around, all of a sudden somebody's like even just walking across the street, I can be like, pick it up again and get my form going. Yeah, I'm not suffering. I'm doing fine. This is easy.
It's like, look at me. Look at how fit I am.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as they leave, you stop and suck wind. I guess we all do that to an extent, but to be able to be like, just accept it. Like, yeah, whatever you can pass me, I'm fine with it. So I was like, you know, it's funny that one of the last races I was in was last September. It was the final edition of my favorite trail race, which was called Chase the Coyote. So it was kind of a bittersweet to run it for the last time. And I was near the end, so I was hurting and I hadn't properly trained for it. So I ran like the 16K or 10 mile trail race. And there were some good climbs that absolutely killed me. Anyways, on the way down, I'm a little bit longer to go. So I'm trying to kind of pick it up a bit. And then some guy just flies right by me and I'm like, what is happening? Nobody should be running that fast right now. And I noticed he didn't have a bib on. So I guess it was one of the volunteers from the past aid station. I was just like, not cool. You shouldn't be doing that.
You never told me that story.
Yeah, that happened.
That's
that
hilarious.
Happened. I was like, that is not cool.
The dreaded will kill right there. It just sucks all the will out of you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, because I thought I was doing all right. Then this happened. I was like, oh. It was kind of heartbreaking, but anyways, I got through it and still did pretty good. I was still happy with my result to be there. So, yeah. You know, Russell, I think we talked a little bit a while ago, and it was about our favorite running hats. And you know what? I think my wife got rid of my running hat. She finally was able to, like, without my knowledge, because I can't find it anywhere. It's gone. Like, I've been looking for it. And, like, where is my hat? So I need to find a new running hat. Are you getting yours right now?
Are you both ready for this?
We're ready.
3, 2, 1. Shout out to Heidi and Peter Meads, Inherit the Earth Running Apparel.
Very nice.
I was the man in the McDonald's putting ice in this hat this week. And that ice stayed in my hat for 4 miles at least. Very nice. Finally disintegrated inside and made my hair a wet, moppy mess.
So that is your new favorite running hat, Russ.
It is. Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you to Heidi and Peter. Again, Inherit the Earth Running Apparel. Check them out.
They've been on the show before and they've got some pretty cool stuff. So Dave, what about you? Have you got a hat that you kind of always wear for a run, or do you switch it up, or do you even run in a hat?
You know, I tend to be a visor guy. My kids make fun of me because, I never wore sunscreen when I was younger because our generation didn't do that. So, I now have to go to the dermatologist all the time and get things removed. But so I always make sure I've got my zinc oxide on my nose and my ears, but I'm a visor guy. And I've got a couple hats that, I need to soak them in the bleach water solution periodically just because they get so, janky. And then in the winter, depending on which way the wind is blowing or not, I will wrap my head up pretty solidly because I want those ears to be warm. So, but I'm looking over, I've got some visors hanging on the wall over here that have seen better days, but they're my faithful, tried and true visor, my running visors.
Yeah. It's true though. The more faded they get, the jankier they get, the harder they are to let go of. You got to keep adding on, keep putting the miles into those hats and keep going. So I've been kind of just rotating. I haven't found my running hat yet since my Panama Jack hat has gone missing, but I'll find a new one. The hunt is on, but Dave, I want to ask you about footwear, because we never really talked about that last time. So I know with myself, I'm a big fan of the Ultra shoe, not necessarily because of the zero drop, which is nice, but I do like the really wide toe box because I just like that extra room and that space in there. So I recently noticed that, I was running, and around the 10-kilometer mark, my legs would start to get a lot more fatigued than they used to. So it's kind of humming and hawing and looking at Hokas and the higher stack running shoes. So I bought them online, so I don't have that, that ability to put them on and feel what they are like on my foot. So I was very familiar with the Ultra shape of shoe. So I ended up getting, it's called the Paradigm. It's a 30-millimeter stack, I think. So a lot bigger than what I was used to. And I put those on, and wow, what a world of difference they have made for me, where I can, run that 10 kilometers and beyond now, and my legs don't feel as bad or as rough as they used to. What are you running in shoes right now? And have you noticed over the years, your kind of taste in footwear or needs and different features have changed?
So years ago, I ran in Asics, and I ended up getting plantar, and then I used some braces, and that just seemed to make it go throughout the foot. And I ended up with a period where I couldn't run for a while because my feet were so painful. And then probably 15 years ago, I started running Brooks Cascadias, which are big, clunky trail running shoes. And I have run in the Cascadia ever since. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I seem to do okay. For me, I don't put as many miles on a shoe as I used to. I think I'd way rather just buy a new pair of shoes. It's, all I got to do is go to the physical therapist 4 or 5 times here in the States, and you just bought yourself a pair of shoes in terms of copays or, your insurance. So I've been real happy with the Cascadia. Now I have looked at buying some racing flats, because theoretically, you run in the carbon racing flat, perhaps you're going to shave, 5 seconds per mile off of a 5K time, but I haven't got there yet. I thought, oh, come on, Dave, you run one 5K a year. You're really going to, throw down $150 to get some racing flats so that you can shave some imaginary time off your 5K. And My wife will be like, so why did you do this? It's like, well, I wanted to run faster, baby. Okay, and what's that gonna do for you?
It's a high octane shoe.
But I've been really happy with Brooks. You know, it's a trail running shoe, so it's a bit of a clod hopper. But, and I use it even on my faster runs or when I go on the track or when I run intervals. My running buddy has about 10 pairs of shoes, and his wife makes fun of him all the time because he's always buying a new pair of shoes and he rotates them through and he's convinced that's how he keeps his feet healthy. But, you know, God makes every body different. And so you figure out what works or doesn't work for your feet and then behave accordingly.
Yeah. Like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So stick with the Brooks. They're working nicely for you. Do you do much trail running? Or are you primarily on the road and track?
I do. I live in a suburb of Minneapolis that's called Eden Prairie. And we have some really good park systems. And there are some wonderful trails that are pretty hilly, not too far from my house. And so a lot of times it'll be a mixed bag. I'll run over there and then run in the park for a while and then run back. And other times I'll just have a dedicated run in the park. And I like that because obviously when you're running on the trails, a couple of reasons. One, you get your forest bathing in. You know, I prefer to be out in the woods. Mm-hmm. Two, a trail I think is, obviously, it's less impact than, say, running on asphalt. I abhor concrete. I mean, stay away from concrete. Now, I ran one marathon in my life. I ran the Green Bay Marathon about 20 years ago, and I have never run on so much concrete in my whole life. I mean, it was just concrete everywhere. I still have nightmares about concrete, besides the fact that it was about 38 degrees and raining the whole time. So, yeah, it was horrible. So I do like to run on trails when I can, but probably most of my running is on asphalt.
Fair enough. I'd say that's on par with what I do. I try to get out to the trails as often as I can, but you know, a lot of times it's hard to actually get in the car and get to the trailhead. So you make the best of it. And I'm fairly lucky. If I leave my door within a kilometer, I can get out to some trail systems around. Like there's a rail trail, which is flat, but it's still gravel and dirt, which is nice. We've got, you know, some interconnected gravel trails through town where I live in Shelburne here, which is great. But, you know, if I have the extra time to drive over to the trails, and my main two trails, it's quite hilly. So it's always a challenge to get out there, but it's got, you know, that forest bathing that you had mentioned, right? There's a lot of valleys in there. There's a nice river that runs through. So it's really great, especially in the summertime when the leaves come up and everything, you can get lost in that place. And, you know, you suffer up the hills a bit, but that's my go-to trail to run on anyways. But that forest bathing, my wife actually recently wrote an article for a local magazine. So she got to experience forest bathing with I guess, a certified instructor in forest bathing. So there are ways that they will certify forests. They have all these different criteria that they look at to say this is a certified forest bathing forest, right? They look at the different features, the dampness, the wind, and all sorts of things. So she really kind of went in depth into this whole topic, and I had never heard of it before, but it was really interesting.
It is interesting. Mirkwood Forest probably would qualify, I suppose.
With those spiders?
Yeah. The hobbits knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, kind of digressing a little bit, but the first real kind of big book I'd ever read was The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings. And that was back in grade 7. And we're supposed to read a book. And the cover just captivated me. And I figured, okay, I'm going to read this book. And we're supposed to read, you know, a book in a week and ask my teacher for an extension. And this thing's like, you know, 800 pages, because it was The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings together. And so she says, absolutely, take your time on the book. But that was the very first book that ever captivated my imagination. When you mentioned Mirkwood Forest, I have this huge map in my head of what it looks like and everything, and remembering them kind of getting taken up by the spiders and wrapped in the cocoons and everything. And it was like watching a movie. And that was the first time I had experienced that with a book. And that kind of changed a lot of things for me too. So big fan of that series.
Yeah, good stuff. And reading is, reading is a great way to experience other cultures, other adventures. I mean, stories. Again, I'm a trial lawyer, and so my job is to take my client's story and present that to a fact finder. And so it's one of the things I love about my job is hearing people's stories. And, you know, runners, we are brutal with our stories. Oh yeah, I remember the time, you know, this happened, or we were stuck out there and the snow was blowing. And but it's fun. I mean, running stories, you know, you let your buddies tell you their running stories and you tell them your running stories. You know, at this stage of my life, I have two people that I can brag or talk to about my running. And my wife cares about it because she loves me, so she tolerates it. But, you know, my dad is 81 and he's like, Dave, you can always brag about your runs to me. Don't worry, I'm your dad. It's cool. So I'll go, Dad, guess what I did this morning? You know, so when I got back, I screenshot my 10-mile splits. You know, I sent him said, no dog jog this morning, Dad, you know. my running buddy. You know, but you gotta have a couple people you can tell your running stories to. But otherwise, Nobody cares about your workout. You know, they're just like, okay, Dave, that's cool. You ran. That's awesome. Shut up.
Exactly.
That's way too funny. That's actually the best, that you go and tell your dad, oh, no time jog this morning, Dad. Here are my splits. That's bad. And what were your splits, David?
You know, I averaged 7:45 for 10 miles this morning. So I was pleased with the middle-aged frame.
That's a good clip. For those in the kilometer pace range, I'll break down the math for you. That's about 450 per K for 16.1.
Yeah, I was pretty even this morning. So I was happy with that. Because what's funny is, you know, my 5K time, I mean, I can knock about a minute off that. And so I would think, well, golly, if I can go run 10 miles at this pace, I ought to be able to run 3.1 miles a lot faster. But for some reason, that turnover isn't there anymore. I don't know. It's just gone. So, but again, being grateful. And I was real pleased that, you know, early May, I got out and did that. So. And then, you know, makes my dad can pretend like he's really pleased with me too. So, because that's what good dads do. That's it. Oh, Dave, that's great. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you, Dave.
Oh my gosh.
He'll always be proud of you and your phenomenal life and running journey.
Oh, that's awesome. Dave, let me ask, you know, you had kind of mentioned that, you know, that turnover is kind of gone for the lower mileages with in terms of speed, but do you have any specific running goals for this year? I know we're kind of almost halfway through the year, but is there anything that you kind of targeted on right now with your running, or just get through the year and keep doing what you're doing?
Yeah, no, I would love, you know, my goal with a 5K is always to be under 21. You know, I would love to break 20 again. I just think that window has closed on me. I run, you know, my 5K time is like a 20:20 or a 20:30. And I just think, oh, there's gotta be some way to get below 20 again. But I think it's gone. I keep trying. Every summer I try, and
You know, Dave, there's the argument right there for the carbon plate shoes.
Yeah.
Right there. One last hurrah. If that doesn't work, you know it's officially done. But you never know. Yeah. You never know.
Well, the race last year, it's in July, and last year it was when the gun went off, it was 79 degrees and it clicked up to 80 real quick and it was super humid. And I love running in heat, but I don't perform well in humidity. I just, it was awful. It was like I was wrapped in a wet wool blanket, you know, within 3 minutes. And it's just like, oh, so that was my excuse, you know, why I didn't break 20 last year. But I'll have a better excuse this year for why I can't break 20. But
how tall are you, David?
I am 6 foot.
Which means that you have long legs, and I believe that you still have that potential to break 20. Just slightly. I believe you can do it.
All right. All right. I'll let you guys know how it goes.
You have to. Absolutely. There's my daughter in the background. That's probably my cue to wrap things up here. But I want to let you know, Dave. So I just before we got on, I went onto Amazon. I ordered a hard copy of your book. So I'm looking forward to getting that, because I actually haven't read it, which is, you know, I'm embarrassed to say, but I'm going to read the book. And then what we're going to do, Russell, is we're going to post it onto our Instagram account at trail_tales_ARP. And then we'll have a contest, and we'll send that book out to a lucky listener of the podcast and share it. Looking forward to reading it, Dave. So that's pretty cool. And we'll put a link into our show notes about the books. If you want to order it yourself, you can get the Kindle version or you can get the hardcover. And I always like reading a book that I can hold and see and flip the pages. So the hard covers for me. Russell, go ahead.
I'm literally waving to your daughter.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's still there. I didn't see her. That's Olivia, by the way. She's going to be turning 7 on the 14th. So we have birthdays that are pretty close by. Monday, she just told me. So she's pretty excited about that. But Dave, it was great to catch up with you again. Wishing you all the best for your growing family. I hope you catch lots of big fish this spring and summer. And yeah, I look forward to seeing those.
I'll put them on Instagram if I do, so you'll know.
Absolutely, and I will link your Instagram account to the show notes if that's all right, so people can kind of see the monsters you pull up. Mostly catfish, but what else are you grabbing out of the lake there?
So we got two musky last year. That was really fun. Did some nice northerns, some smallmouth bass a little later in the summer, but the catfish are hilarious. I mean. And some of them fight and some of them don't. And so occasionally you'll get a big cat on there and you think you've hooked the mother of all pike, you know, and then you get it. And then you're like, oh, catfish. But they are fun. They are fun. We have this saying in the family, the tug is the drug. So
it's so true. Nothing like that excitement, that's for sure. All right. Well, listen, we'll catch up again. I'll post this up there. And Dave, last thing we have to say is to run wild, my friend. Run wild.
Run wild.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Trail Tales ARP, a running podcast from Sean Sobon and Russell the Runner. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at trail_tales_ARP. Check out our YouTube channel at Trail Tales ARP. And you can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Catch you next time. Run wild. No, I'm never turning back. And if you get in my way, you're gonna feel the wrath. Gotta say it to my face while he's looking back. Mirror breaks after math. When I hate, I attack. Stop.